All right, we're going to read God's Word today from Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at the beginning of the chapter. Romans 2 and verse 1. Let us hear the Word of Almighty God. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. And we find, do we not, even like the Jews condemning the Gentiles, that so often when we speak to others or point at others, we see these fingers pointing back at us. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. We end our reading there with verse 11. We trust that the Lord will bless His Word to our hearts today for all our good, for Jesus' sake. Verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. You must take that in its context. God deals with Jews and with Gentiles in grace and in judgment. We are looking today at verse 5 as our text. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And the question is asked in the previous verse, do you not know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Man is naturally ignorant of so many things. About a year ago, a sports writer lost his job for using a term that he said he did not fully understand. The question is often asked in our society, are we responsible for the things that we do not know? Well, the legal standard answers that very legitimate question. Do you ever wonder, can I be guilty of a statute or an ordinance or whatever I don't even know exists? Well, the legal standard in America is this. If a reasonable adult should have been able to know something, ignorance of it is not a valid legal defense. That is one of the contemporary usages in the law courts. Now, the inspired Apostle Paul asked important questions in Romans 2. In verse 3, he asked, do you think that you shall escape the judgment of God? In verse 4, he asks, do you not know that the goodness of God is to lead you to repentance? Ignorance of these matters is not a legitimate excuse or a real defense. We are all responsible to God, and we must all give account of ourselves to the living God. The Jews seem to think that since they're God's chosen people and children of Abraham, people of the covenant, that they will not be condemned for their sins as the pagan Gentiles will be. But in verse 5, Paul warns them of their coming doom. First of all, he tells them the problem is their heart. Verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart. This could equally be translated, but after thy hard and impenitent heart. The problem is the heart. The problem with the Jews is the heart. But the problem with sinful humanity in general, not just the Jewish people, is the heart. The heart is the center of our personality. Jeremiah tells us the truth about our heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. There is nothing so deceitful as the human heart. It is desperately wicked, he says. And then he follows that by the indictment that we cannot even know how bad our hearts are, because we do not know the depths of our own hearts. Total depravity does not mean that we are as bad as we could be. We are not demonstrating badness in our lives up to our capability. But we have that capability. Modern psychology, on the other hand, tries to deny that there's some problem with the heart. Modern psychology teaches that man's heart is basically and naturally good and just needs some proper education. Given the right influences, modern psychology teaches that under the right influences, the heart, the human heart, will readily respond in a right way and will begin showing proper conduct in life and in actions. Well, they say we must not only provide good influences for all of our young people, but also a proper environment. A proper environment is a key to getting people to live right. If people only have lovely homes and lovely neighborhoods, they will respond with good living. But such is not the case. When many people in our nation's history have been provided with lovely dwellings in nice, well-cleaned and kept neighborhoods, they have simply wrecked and ruined those places and even stripped their dwellings of anything that they could get loose to take it out and pawn it. Well, Paul wrote in chapter 1 of Romans that the human heart has been darkened by sin. So there's the light has been shut out by the darkness of the depraved human heart. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, fornications. The whole source of human woes, Jesus said, is this evil heart which is in man. That's what Jesus said. The trouble is not simply the thoughts, the mind, the intellect. It is especially the lusts and the passions within the human heart. James asked the question, where do wars come from? And he said, come they not even from your own lusts that are warring within? Paul describes the natural heart of man as hard here in verse 5. Notice chapter 2 and verse 5. but after thy hardness, a hard heart. The actual Greek word is very interesting. It is sclerosis. Sclerosis. If you add an artery to sclerosis, you have arteriosclerosis, which is hardening of the arteries, a very deadly disease. This hardness of the heart is because of spiritual calluses being laid in layer after layer upon the heart, the center of man's personality, over a long period of time, a course of continuing in sin. The deceitfulness of sin is hardening the heart. Hebrews 3 verse 13, hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The very conscience is calloused. You've read the scripture about having the conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, what would a hot iron leave something if it was human flesh? It would leave it seared and calloused and coated over with this hardness. The very conscience of man by sin is calloused. And that's why when I think of Jesus, you know, he's so different from us. Even though having our nature, a true human body and a true human soul, yet unfallen and sinless, he had no calluses on his soul anywhere. He had no calluses on his conscience. He had no calluses over his intellect. There was no darkness in his intellect, so that all the pains that Jesus felt, he felt them to the sharpest degree because of the keenness of his nature. He had none of our sinful calluses about his inner being in any way. So you think of anything that would hurt us, how much more deeply it would pain and torture and torment the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man. Well, the same shining sun that melts the butter hardens the clay in the lowlands. Have you ever thought about that? The same sun that beams down from heaven upon the butter and melts it also hardens the clay in the lowlands until it's as hard as a rock, like pottery. Even so, the goodness of God that leads many to repentance, that same goodness and forbearance and patience that's being spoken of in verse 4 as it beams down from heaven upon others, leaves them only hardened more and more in their sins. The sinful heart is not only hard, it's said to be in verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart. The impenitent heart that is refusing to repent, even incapable of repentance. Rather than turning to God, the sinful human heart turns from God. Men love darkness rather than light. Sinners will not come to the light, Jesus said in John 3, verses 19 and 20. Sinners hate the light. Sinners hate God. They hope that a scientist will someday be able to prove that there is no God, because sinners hate the very thought that God exists. And here is the evidence. Here is so much of the proof of the absolute necessity of the Holy Spirit's work in coming and powerfully regenerating spiritually dead, lost sinners. Because unless the Spirit of God descends upon the individual, lost and hopelessly dead sinner, then that sinner will never repent. Otherwise, they will never accept forgiveness through Christ and His blood. So there's the first thing that the apostle is bringing out in this verse is the problem of the human heart. Rather, secondly, sinners without the mighty life-giving work of the Holy Spirit will just keep doing what? Treasuring up wrath. You see in verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath. Oh, treasuring up wrath. The treasures of God's goodness have been spoken of earlier in this chapter. And what a contrast there is. Instead of enjoying this, the riches of God's goodness, there's a treasuring up of wrath. The Greek word here in verse 5 for treasuring is a verbal form of the Greek word thesaurus. Now, a thesaurus is not some exotic form of a dinosaur. Rather, a thesaurus is a collection or a treasury of words or synonyms. A thesaurus is an accumulation of words that are synonyms of other words and other things in a thesaurus. Paul is saying an unrepentant sinner is actually accumulating, collecting up an abundance of wrath. And what should this be? For anyone out of Christ, this should be utterly terrifying. Every day that a sinner lives outside of Christ marks an abundance of deposits made into his wrath account. Failure of a sinner to live for God's glory and all such failures and sins of omission are filling up those horrible vials of divine wrath and fiery vengeance against himself, against his soul eternally. All careless and flagrant sins are only making a deeper hole in hell to torment the sinner. Oh, what an awful thing to treasure up, to collect, to accumulate wrath against yourself for the day of wrath. Oh, the ignorance of multitudes who do not know what they are doing, and yet they are responsible. They do not realize that they are storing and treasuring up more and more wrath every moment, yet they are morally and eternally responsible for their sins. So we come to the last matter in verse 5. Verse 5 speaks of a definite day of wrath and the revealing of God's righteous judgment. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. There is a day, Paul said, as he was preaching in Acts chapter 17, he said, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. This one that God the Father has raised from the dead is our judge. He is the one wearing our nature. He knows what life here is like. He has been here. He has done that. And He is our judge. God has determined that day. It is already appointed. Revelation 6 and verse 17 warns us, because one day in the present tense, we will say the great day of His wrath has come. If you look over in Revelation chapter 20, there's more description of that beginning in verse 11. Revelation 20 verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here is the climactic point of the chapter, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And those people whose names are written in that book are the people who will be judged according to Christ's works. All of those who were cast into the lake of fire are judged by their own works. And they will find that all of their works have been failing and futile. Only the work of Christ can give them a happy eternity. People in that day will be so horrified that they will cry to the rocks and the mountains, "Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne." There will be no excuses on that day. Only justice and righteousness will be the rule and the true standard. Many do not understand what they're doing. But there is a day when Christ will return with flaming fire, bringing vengeance upon those who know not God. Ignorance is no excuse in this world. Ignorance for responsible adults is no legal defense. Neither will ignorance provide any refuge for any in eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only refuge, the only hiding place in that day of wrath that is to come. Jesus Christ paid all of the horrible amassed collection of accumulated wrath that is due to us for our sin. It all burst upon Christ in its fierceness and in its fullness. That justice came upon Him as He hung on that cross of Calvary and was made sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. If the goodness of God is not leading you to repentance today, then every moment that you live, there is the collecting of more and more treasures of wrath for you. The wrath is going to burst forth upon you in the coming great day of judgment. If you flee to Christ, you will not come into judgment because judgment has already struck Christ, the stricken and smitten one for us. John 5:24, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath a present possession, hath everlasting life, and shall not future come into condemnation, but is passed already from death unto life." Do not dare to try pleading ignorance, or you will lose more than your job. You will lose your soul everlastingly. Let us pray. O God, our Father in heaven, we praise Thee for the faithfulness of Thy Word. We praise Thee that Thy Word gives no quarter for the sinner. No hope for the sinner in his own works, in his own efforts, in his own goodness, but in Christ alone. So, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt break down every tower of falsehood. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt cause us to flee from every lie and from every idol and every pretense, and to look alone to Christ, to His blood and His righteousness for our justification. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all.